Hey, welcome to Switching Lanes. This brand new podcast celebrates success stories from people who have had a significant change in their careers and in their life in general. I'm Molly from the Skills Network, and in each episode, I'll be chatting to some pretty exciting people who have switched lanes, finding out about those moments that inspired them to make the change and led them to where they are today. Today, we're chatting with Richard Christie, who has changed his career from the hospitality industry to technology. As we all know, the pandemic affected so many different people in this sector. So when Richard had to face his insecurity, he bravely decided to tackle this challenge head on. Hi, Richard. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Molly.
You have obviously had quite a big change in your career side. I know you started out in hospitality.
Yep.
So can you tell us a bit about how, like, your first jobs in hospitality and how you've ended up in your role today?
Yeah, of course. My first sort of role in hospitality was actually pretty much before I was born. My parents were hoteliers. They ran and owned hotels. And although I didn't grow up physically in hotels, I grew up in and around that as a culture. My father was a general manager from the age of 21. My mum was a head housekeeper, leisure manager, and eventually became a director along with my father, owning hotel businesses. You can say that was my earliest part. But really, in terms of myself, when I was studying and coming through, I did resist the urge to a certain degree because I could see the pressures that the industry put upon us as a family, the working hours and so on. But I sort of naturally gravitated towards it because of that bug that you catch in hospitality around dealing with people, primarily on a customer basis when you're dealing with guests. But then as you sort of develop through, you take less from your own performance and the way that you deal with people and with guests, and more the way that others deal with and interact, and how you can impart your knowledge upon other people and your experiences and engage with team members that are getting that same feeling. And you actually take, I think, more satisfaction from team members that you report into you and you can, and you're responsible for, and their development. You know, to answer your question, it's part of me, and it has always been the hospitality industry, and still remains that.
So would you say, you mentioned that obviously you practically grew up in a hotel or in that industry. Hmm. Was it them that influenced you, your parents? Was it them that influenced you to go out to do it? I know you said you had almost resistance to wanting to go into that, but...
I was never, ever pushed into it at any point. In fact, at one point, I was studying for engineering for a couple of years, actually. I studied engineering and I went into business and studied that. I moved away from the engineering side. And at the same time, I was working as in a local high standard of hotel, and I just really enjoyed it. When the time came for me to make that decision in terms of whether I was going to commit towards a different career path or whether I was going to stick with hospitality, my parents were able to give me some advice in that respect that helped me, rather than in any way sort of pushing me in that direction. It was always felt like a choice on my part. But as I say, I was conflicted because I knew the pressures of the industry.
Yeah. And you've seen, like, the real side of that industry as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I worked for my parents just to earn a bit of pocket money when I was, 16, 17, 18, I'd be doing maintenance roles in hotels and, pot wash and so on, those sorts of lower level roles. And I would come home and sit around the dinner table on a Sunday night, and my parents would be discussing how they were, about to fire the maintenance manager, or how they were, these conversations would happen that were, at a business level, at a strategic level as well. Yet I was, in and amongst those team members. So I had to learn very quickly how to be professional in the way I came across, and to really sort of get that balance between, the two sides of what I was doing. So
you mentioned you were studying for an engineering course. Mm. Was it that you did have that sort of business side with your parents being at home and you lived there and you've seen that? Was it that sort of drew you in and pushed you away from the engineering side, or what was it that made you sway that way?
I would say when I finished my engineering, I didn't really know which area I wanted to go. You know, I did electrical and mechanical engineering, so I did it that as a wide remit, knowing that I enjoyed working with my hands, knowing that I enjoyed technical problem solving and technical side of things. But I sort of did the engineering to sort of see as to what would sort of grasp me, and nothing did. So when I came to the end of that, I felt I needed something to do. So I went into doing business because I could see, you know, obviously that business was such a vital part of being successful in life, I felt. And therefore, just to get an initial understanding at a level that, at a, you know, a medium level of understanding would allow me to sort of, again, sort of spread my net wide to see what where it would land me. And actually, it was very beneficial for me later in my career because it gave me those principles that maybe others didn't have in terms of business acumen. So yeah, that it was really a case of moving away from engineering just because nothing sort of grabbed me in terms of a passion.
Yeah, even though you didn't go down that route, you've still kept those skills with you and they've helped you where you are today.
Yeah, it's a piece of advice that once was given to me, and I really wish I could remember who gave me it because I should really credit them with it. But I have used it a lot. And that was that throughout life, you should create dots of knowledge and not concern yourself whether those dots connect. And at some point they will connect. And that's definitely worked for me, you know, as a piece of advice quite early on in my life, that if I do that, then it'll come together. Even my engineering side, you know, there are certain elements to what I learned in engineering that I've pulled upon in my career, you know, and definitely within the business side of it. But there was, you know, as an example as well, while I was studying business, I had enough time to be able to also, again, pick up another dot of knowledge, which was that my parents are very much into wine when I was
relate.
Young. When I was, you know, 16, 17, 18, they were doing quite, and they talked a lot about wine and, you know, again, sat around the dinner table, you know, I was intrigued by it. So I felt I wanted to gain a deeper knowledge into that. So I studied a sommelier course for a year alongside my business. And then I became a sommelier in the hotel I was working in. I was just working on the bar. And because I had a knowledge of wine, they put me in a position where I was able to exercise that knowledge with customers. And that was really empowering. And then roll forward 15 years, I'm a general manager in a Jacobean manor house and 40 bedrooms, and I got approached by Hotel Divan to say, would you like to join us as a hotel manager? We noticed that you've previously done a sommelier course. And, you know, it sort of clicked together, you know, that, yeah, I did have that sort of locked in knowledge that I do know of the, you know, a fair amount about wine, and that the two things came together, you know. Hotel Divan, as you know, as you may or may not know, is a hotel brand where wine is centric to everything that you do. The bedrooms are named after vineyards and houses. Every single team member, all the way down to the pot wash, has to have an understanding and appreciation for wine and the knowledge behind it. And it's just an ethos behind that. And had I have not had done that and gained that dot of knowledge, it wouldn't have connected me to that role.
Yeah, see, it's really interesting because at that time when you chose to do that course, it was literally just you having a moment where you thought, I really like wine, I'm going to do a course on it. And it wasn't you thinking, oh, in the future I want to go work at this hotel and that's what it's all about. But it naturally has pulled you that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it did it twice. Yeah, for me. So it just happened to be, like I say, when I was working in the bar, that it pulled me into an area that allowed me to enjoy my role and take more fulfillment out of it. So there was that side of it, but it also created career opportunity for me as well. But you know, it's again that sort of dot of knowledge that sort of takes you in that direction, and to connect those dots is something you can't foresee happening, but seems to happen. So yeah.
So you've taken us up to where you worked at Hotel Divan, and you were maybe a height of your career and like buzzing with everything you were doing at that point. And then how did you get into where you are now? What changed from the hospitality industry?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I took on numerous roles over my career in different areas. And again, I sort of, another thing that I did was challenge myself in areas that I knew I didn't have strength in. So I would focus very much on my weak areas. I would try and be as self-reflective as possible throughout my career to say, for example, when I was operational all throughout my early career, I could see the sort of my attention to detail wasn't particularly great when I came to, you know, my written sort of my communication internally within the organizations that I worked in. So, for example, I show my age a bit here, but email was something that came on board more and more as my career progressed, and I could see more and more people were using that, and I didn't feel I was at a great level. I was technically, but in terms of my professionalism when it came to the way I was writing. So I then pushed myself in the area, the hardest area for me to exercise that, which was in the sales side. So I knew that if I made a mistake in my written communication and in my professional manner, that would potentially cost the business and myself my role. So I, you know, really challenged myself in that respect to develop that from a weakness into a strength at an early stage. And when it came to me wanting to progress within the roles that I had, it was always a case that I was able to find areas that challenged me. And when I went to, say, for example, Hotel de Vannes, each one of the roles that I had, there was an element to what I was doing there that I hadn't done before, or I considered on my CV, for example, or, you know, in some people's perception, on my CV wasn't an area that I was particularly experienced in and therefore had any knowledge of. So I was more keen to step out of my comfort zone with a, you know, if I had two opportunities to pick from, it was always the one that would challenge me more.
Fast forward to, say, last year.
Yeah.
Obviously, when the pandemic hit and hospitality got hit hard, were you still in hospitality at that time?
Yeah, I was. And the pandemic was an opportunity. I saw it for me to be able to make a move that I was sort of lining up in some respects for some years. Around about the Hotel de Vannes time, there was a huge amount of commitment that was coming from my time, and also my family life was starting to change. In terms of, I'd had a daughter. She was, I think, about 6 months old when I started that role. My previous role, the owner, it was an independent business. The owner had a complete understanding of my personal situation, and I actually lived on site. I had a cottage next to the hotel, so I had full access to be able to balance the two. Whereas I found that balance far more strenuous when it came to Hotel de Vannes. And because of that, I started to assess my direction, and taking the time to sort of step back and assess what I wanted to do was very important to me. It's always, you know, you can spend weeks, months, sometimes years, not ever contemplating as to where you're going and what you're doing. And it's only when you get those silent moments, I often find like Christmas and New Year and that Twixmas period to be quite a good opportunity for that. And then taking action out of that is important. You can often think to yourself, oh, I need to learn this, or I need to push myself in that direction. But doing it is the next stage, and developing that sort of desire to go in that direction. And because of the pandemic, coming back to it, it gave me another opportunity to do that for probably a good 6 months from the moment the pandemic started in February, March. I was speaking to colleagues and friends about it probably quite a long time before others were considering it as a risk to their businesses. And I could sort of see it coming to a certain degree. And when it did happen, I felt to a certain degree mentally prepared that I was going to have to make that change. And I sort of very much put, you know, feelers out as I had previously, but in a stronger way. And hence the, you know, obviously the role that I attained with head of customer success with the company that I began, Skills Network.
So we're going back to when you had a daughter. Do you think that was a defining moment? Did it trigger a sense, you wanted a sense of change in actually what you wanted to do as a job? Like, I know you said before the pandemic came, you had itchy feet almost that you wanted to maybe try something else. And then the pandemic almost gave you that boost to go off and do it. But was there a point when you became a dad? Did that change the way you wanted to do things?
Yeah, it did. And there's two things that happened, really. That there was obviously the birth of my daughter, but there was also the fact my wife made a career switch. She was also in the hospitality industry, and she was a sales manager working, you know, long hours, committed very much to the business. And after she had our daughter, she went back into the hospitality industry after maybe 18 months. and really found it very strenuous. And therefore, she actually, an opportunity came about through a friend that we had for her to move into the education sector. And I watched her make that transition. And that, again, sort of gave me the confidence to move across as well. I saw her do that and I felt I could do that as well. So I was inspired in that respect by my wife, but I also felt that had my wife not made that change, I potentially would be still in the hospitality industry, but maybe in a less demanding role and possibly a role that maybe didn't necessarily draw upon my experience as much as the current one does. And that would have been frustrating to me. Obviously, you know, I may have even had to have taken a cut in my salary or so on to be able to do that. And I get the same feeling as I did when I moved from corporate hotel chains into an independent. And I will connect those two things together. I worked for Marriott for 9 years and Hilton for 6 or 7 years. And I was the piece of advice I was given by my parents when I was looking to move was that to develop and to take on the industry is that get into a large hotel company, get good training, get good development, and that will take you a long way. My parents are obviously independent hotel owners, so they were effectively telling me not to work in their side of the industry. And what happened was is when I came to a certain point in my career where I felt I'd had as much development, I was being held back a little bit. Unlike a lot of my colleagues, I moved into an independent hotel and allowed me to really flex my muscles and really impart a lot of the knowledge and experience that I'd gained from and skills and training that I'd received all into one independent hotel. And that was very empowering to me. Now, fast forward to now, I feel that the customer service and the hospitality industry really, you know, it imparts a great deal of knowledge in terms of, you know, the theories and also the experience of how you deal with customers and how you really go for, you know, service excellence across the board and how you impart that on people and the culture in which you need to develop. And to bring that into an industry that's relatively junior in that respect, underdeveloped in that area, and to impart my knowledge, again, is empowering. Again, I get that same feeling where I'm able to educate others around me as to how to do those things, how to really engage with customers to a level where there is no natural need for them to move on to another, either hotel chain or in this industry, another education provider, because they're getting such great service and that it feels so natural for them to do.
When you have such a rich history of being in the hospitality sector, do you think it gave you a real push of confidence when you left that sector and went into something else? Was it almost scary to do? Like, how did you feel like kind of changing? I know a lot of it will have been transferable skills, so you'll still be doing similar things, but that's all you've known all your life, basically, and then you've gone and changed. Like,
yeah, there's two parts of that. I think there's the industry and then there's the role. And the industry, for me, I was definitely comfortable in. The role, I could always be comfortable. I could always be comfortable in a role. I actually couldn't. Every role I went into, I probably went through a cycle of maybe 18 months to maybe 2 years where I'd get itchy feet. And that was the feeling of being comfortable. That created that. Being comfortable in a role and knowing the role and having done it in a cycle of more than 18 months would mean that I needed to move on and sort of learn something new, work with new people, maybe. But going back to where I was comfortable, the industry, I didn't foresee as to how transferable the skills that I had and the approach that I have was until I actually did it. And what I would say to anybody who is considering that move, that it is amazing as to how transferable those skills are. And you know, the fundamentals do remain the same and the way you approach the culture of what you're trying to do and the team that you're trying to build, and they are the same. To move industry, had the pandemic or not happened, I'm not sure I would have. I can't say in retrospect. It's definitely something that I, at this moment in time, with things starting to open up, I'm not looking back, I'm looking forward. But I'm also still very engaged with the hospitality industry in that I've got a lot of colleagues in there that I remain in contact with, supporting them in a lot of respects, because we all supported one another mentally through it. You know, we'd make regular calls, more so during the pandemic than we would normally, to talk about the challenges that we're having and really sort of offload some of the frustrations that maybe we were having. But for me, it was all a big challenge to me. It was a case of how can you adapt, how can you, not yourself, but your business, to be able to cope with this. And it was a day-to-day battle to fight to ensure that your, you know, my hotel never closed that I operated throughout the pandemic. And that's because I felt that we could be of a benefit to the local area that we were in. My hotel was in Sheffield. We had a hospital up the road from us. We offered extremely cheap rates to those key workers that were up the road from us to support them, you know, as they were through the pandemic as much as possible. Initially through choice, but then through necessity, because the industry literally was only allowed to take that sort of business. And because we were one of the first hotels to do that, we were one of only, I think, two hotels that remained open in Sheffield. And considering there's maybe 20 hotels that were competitors to us, yeah, it was a challenging time. And I'm sort of, you know, 6 months was enough of it for me.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, it was really challenging. And it remains to be, speaking to people, it remains that way. And it's going to be coming out of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, for all on the 21st of June anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you obviously sound like a very much a people person. You like to be around people. Yeah. I'm exactly the same. I got made redundant from my last job as well. So I had to start a new job in the middle of a pandemic when you have to work remotely. So how did you cope with such a change from going to being around people and the conversations and bouncing ideas off each other to working remotely in a totally new job, a totally new sector, and almost being on your own in that respect? How did you deal with that?
Yeah, I'm still dealing with that. The role that I've undertaken is advertisers such as working from home. Yes, there's advantages to it in terms of being able to balance up life and work very well at this moment in time. Long term, the level of engagement for me is actually, it's different. I don't want to say it's less or more engaging. It's just different. It's what you put into relationships that you get out of them. I could sit in my hotel silo just dealing with the small team that I had constantly, and I could equally do the same in this household and just deal with the people that are in my small group of, my manager, a few of my key team members. But it's the same. I set up regular meetings with those people that I have, but we also talk very much not just about work, but in general about life and so on. And again, about getting to understand the person behind the employee as such is the same as what you do in hotels and how you engage with your team. And so for me, again, the fundamentals remain the same. It's just that it's a different medium. One of the things is, and we've discussed this, my wife and I, because she's been working from home longer than I have, is the thing that you miss is you sort of gain and miss things in terms of productivity. You gain more time back because you're able to switch between calls so quickly in people and jobs and priorities, and there's less, there's no traveling to do. And that travel time does take out a fair bit, especially some of my team that would normally be on the road. They're able to be far more productive. But the other side of it is the fact that you don't have those informal conversations around, you know, John, have you looked at this? You know, who can be sat around the corner from you? You don't have those little conversations and those little opportunities to do that. And there's a couple of times throughout the pandemic where I've been into the office. And for example, when I was inducting somebody, IT were at the next table and they were able to answer a few IT related questions just off the bat, just there and then. Whereas you're having to maybe construct an email or get time with somebody to be able to do that. And you lose that side of things. So, you know, you gain and you lose. And again, you just have to sort of adapt really to the way that it is.
And another thing with adapting, so obviously you've got a daughter. Are you homeschooling? How are you balancing work with homeschooling? Like, how does that work with you? Obviously yourself and your missus both being at home. How does that work?
I think, you know, every parent who's gone through this has a maybe a different approach to it. Our approach is that we initially found that if we worked in a way that meant that we were sort of crossing over too much, that it became more challenging to affect that time. We either try and do a half day or a full day of responsibility as such to ensure that the curriculum gets covered around our workloads. And that's the best way we found of doing it. And you get to the end of the day and you're tired because you've been doing both things, and sometimes and often the days are longer as a result. But the sense of reward is actually greater, I think, because the level of engagement that you have with your child becomes different. And there is that very fine line between being a teacher and being a parent that your child just does not respect. And, you know, you've got to in some way try and find that. It's very challenging. Having to adapt to it has been interesting. And now we've just been discussing it. Obviously, our daughter is due. She's six. She's due back on the 8th of March. And as much as we found it very challenging, we are going to miss it. And I'm sure we're going to look back on it and go, wasn't that an amazing time in reflection? Amazing moments that were had, and sort of time with your child that you would never ever, most generations would have the opportunity of having. So I think while you're in the middle of the whirlwind, it can feel very cold and very, very lonely. But I think coming out of it, you look back at it and go, wow.
Definitely. So those moments almost that you say, like wow moments, almost scary moments at the time, those times within your career that you could look back on, if you could give yourself advice, if you could look back at maybe, I don't know, a 16, 18-year-old Richard, what would you say to him? Any advice?
No. Honestly, if you change the approach you're taking, then fundamentally that changes where you go, and I'm happy where I am. So I think I could easily say, you know, listen more, or, you know, be more open, or all those sort of cliche things. But sometimes you've got to do what you think is right, and maybe shut out some of the voices. And had I listened more, maybe I'd have listened too much to the point whereby it would have affected the decision I'd made. And I don't have any regrets in terms of the way that my career has developed and my life has developed in that respect. So yeah, sorry to not be able to give you a direct answer on that one. But
No, that's a really good answer, really good answer. There'll probably be people out there listening that can totally relate to that they're thinking, oh my God, is this the right decision to make? Is it not? And actually what you're saying is, yeah, whatever you make is the right decision and you'll still come out the other side.
It's that whole thing of living with regret. You know, there are times throughout my career that you could go, I could have made a decision differently, I could have done this. But then you're changing who you are and the way you're going about things, and those decisions make you who you are, and those flaws are something that, you know, that you can look back and say, I worked hard to develop that flaw, and I didn't just live with it and just wallow in it. That's the thing. As I went through with Marriott and with Hilton, there was interestingly a very much and I might not have got this had I have not taken that piece of advice from my parents to go into a company, a corporate sort of environment where you get that training. But they said to me that I should really focus on being self-reflective and looking at myself a lot. And that was a great piece of advice. You know, you've got to be honest with yourself about where your strengths are and where your weaknesses lie. And you need to push on in those areas of development that you need. And really sort of be tenacious about that on a selfish level, to sort of really push hard to get that. But ultimately, you have strengths and you need to shine, let them shine. You know, I knew the areas that I was good at, and if I had an opportunity to be able to use those skills that I had, such as my knowledge of wine, I would go, give me that wine list, I'll show you how it can do this. Or give me that hotel that is all encompassed in wine and all the sort of loving trappings that sort of surround that, and let me see that I can do this, you know?
You mentioned all these dots that at the moment can just feel like they're just dots, but actually they start to connect as you grow older in your personal, in your career life, whatever it is, they start to connect. Do you feel that? Do you feel like you've got more dots to come, or are you slowly making a connection.
Do you know what? I think what those dots of knowledge that you gain, they sort of become dormant and you forget that they're even there sometimes. And it's only when something comes about that they sort of flash up and go, I'm here, you know, you did learn this, you can do this sort of thing, you know, and they jump at you. But they don't, like, sat here now, I don't sit here and go, there is something that I learned that I haven't really exercised a great deal. They just sit out the way. And, you know, for example, like working with profit and loss accounts, you know, as part of my management development, I spent some time in accounts, I learned about them there. And then when I became a hotel manager, I really had to get completely involved in them. And now that sits out the way. And do I feel like, oh, I need a profit and loss account to be able to pull apart? As much as I enjoy doing it, no. I, you know, it doesn't pull on me as going, oh, I need a job where I can do that. It's just something that, you know, if I never use again, I know that I worked well at getting good at, you know.
Yeah. So it's not always about learning something specifically for your next stage in your career. It can be just a life learning that has helped you along the way.
Yeah, I think if you've got time on your hands, especially in your career and throughout your education as well, that allows you to then ask that ultimate question that I think you should do it in life and in your career is, what do I enjoy doing? And then as soon as you ask yourself that question honestly, then it sends you in a direction that ultimately ends in something that you're going to enjoy doing.
My last and final question to you, Richard, is what is next for Richard? What do you see yourself doing going forward? You've learned so much and changed so much that do you see another big change in the future? Not necessarily in your career, in your personal life, like where do you see?
I think for around about half of my career, I've very much focused and took the advice that I should have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, whatever, a plan. And as I've developed, I've learned to effectively not have a plan in that respect, that actually the best thing to do is to use all your energy and focus on the thing that you've got in front of you, to be your best at it and to, you know, get the most out of it and to learn the most from it. And then things appear to sort of go in a direction that an opportunity sort of come about. And I talked about that itchy period time where you're comfortable in a role. And that's the time where you start reflecting. And I'm definitely not at that point at this moment in time. I'm at a point where I continue to have a steep learning curve. I continue to be able to benefit the organization that I'm in. And because of those reasons, I feel, you know, content in the role that I have. And therefore, if I start then focusing on the next thing, it removes my focus off what I'm currently doing, I feel. Even if I think I'm not doing that, I am. I know that I am from past, where I've had roles where I've gone, I'm looking for the next thing, and it's just subconsciously moved me in a different direction. And sometimes you've just got to learn to enjoy what you're doing at this moment in time and get the most out of it as much as possible. And then the next thing comes.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, please subscribe to Switching Lanes in your podcast app. And if you're feeling generous, leave us a review or even give us a rating. If you want to find out more about what the Skills Network could do for you, then head over to theskillsnetwork.com.